Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And surprise, surprise, surprise. The FOMC came out with their minutes and they said it was oh so close to raising rates. Are they kidding? Are we going to be that gullible or that ridiculous believing that they even had a thought of raising rates? Now, we all know how dirty the election's been so far. We all know where Janet Yellen stands. Did we really think that there's any chance at all that they're going to raise rates? Okay. Now, let's talk about it on a more important note. The sad state of affairs is that we are in such a mess that there was a movie years ago with Kevin Costner, No Way Out. And this really has all the appearances of having no way out. And I do really believe that there is no way out of the mess that has been created by and for the Federal Reserve. Because, again, if you believe in some of the conspiracy theories, the Federal Reserve is trying to create and take all the money, which they certainly have done a great job so far of screwing the American people, of sticking it up so far that you can't breathe, because as they continue to devalue your currency, they are just really taking money out of your pocket. Okay. But at the end of the day, no surprise, there was, the minutes weren't a shock. And personally, I believe that, you know, because of the holiday, because of, you know, this week has had, you know, basically 3 days of holiday, even though Tuesday wasn't typically a holiday. But between, you know, Tuesday and then, you know, Yom Kippur Monday and then Wednesday and then in between, it was more likely a holiday. But it seemed to me that they were pricing in exactly what they got, which is why late in the day, yesterday, you saw a little bit of a rally. But at the end of it all, okay, the markets look like they're teetering, okay, on the brink. Now, this ain't the first time that they're teetering on this brink. You know, we've been here before. We've seen the action. We've seen the attempts to take it down. But most likely, the Fed will be raising rates in December. Okay, again, at the worst possible time. Again, something unusual, something that isn't stupid, they're going to raise into December, which is, again, the truth. Let's talk truth be known. The only way we're getting out of this mess is if the MBs raise rates. Okay, why? Because that is the only way we might be able to see a potential for some liquidity and some movement and allow, you know, small business to succeed, you know, the whole story, blah, blah, blah. We've been through it before. But at the end, okay, we have a mess and the mess needs to be dealt with. Now, again, we're not doing anything, you know, ridiculous. We're not talking crazy. We're talking about simply that we have incompetence in full running the Federal Reserve, which really should not run at all. There really should not be a Federal Reserve, because as we're obviously seeing, okay, there is nothing that they have done to actually improve or help the economy. Okay, now again, if you understand what their mandate is and what they're supposed to be doing, they have come nowhere close to doing what they're supposed to be doing, okay, which is being there to bail out the banks. So all these problems that exist are going to exist, and they're going to exist for extended periods of time, because you cannot, as I coined the phrase back in 2010, you cannot borrow your way out of debt. And we knew that that Yellen and the entire Federal Reserve was full of crap about 10 days ago when they started talking about the potential nuclear option of starting to buy securities. I mean, you know, just think about it. I want you to take the time. You know, I know one of the issues in life is we all want to believe. Okay, we all want to have hope. We all want to believe, and I have no problem with it. I'm like the next guy. I want to have hope, because without hope, you ain't got much. Okay, but I want you to go back and just do this for yourself. Not because I say the Fed's no good. I want you to go back and look at what they've done, and you can go back to 08. You can go back to 1980, and I want you to look and see what many have said many times. But many of us choose to ignore the fact because, well, it's the Fed, the Federal Reserve. Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve, for those of you who don't know, is not a government agency. And if it was, it'd probably be even worse. Okay. But my point is simple. Look at what they've done. Look at your life. Do a little inventory of what you were doing then, what you were making then, what you're making now, and let me know how the money goes. Okay. Let me know if it goes farther than it did, okay, and maybe I'm wrong. Again, I don't ever say that I'm 100% right in this particular case. This is more of an opinion, but the facts certainly, I believe, bear me out that your spending power is certainly a lot less today than it was before, okay? You know, I go back into when I keep hearing that we have no inflation, which always makes me want to puke because we have too much inflation. And all inflation really is almost the hidden tax, which is a way for the Fed to stick it to the average guy, because we create more taxes we've got to pay, and yet we have less money, and our money does not go as far as it did, and that's the problem. Think about the numbers, you know, and think about your where you were in life, and how much more you were able to do. You know, back, you know, a number of years ago. And this is the fallacy of their ridiculous model. This is the fallacy when you live in you know, where's Mr. Work or Tattoo? Boss, the plane. Okay. This is the fallacy when you live off of a theory versus living off of an actual real business. And that will always be the problem. Okay. So not only are they, in my opinion, not doing the right thing, and certainly making things easier for the banks, okay, which is another problem. And we will get to that. As you know, I will leave no stone unturned, and I don't really care, because I'm going to tell it like I think it. And I got plenty of that to go over as well. But again, if you look back, to what you're making and what you could buy, how far it went, And see what you got now, and tell me, is it better or worse? Okay, for most, the times are worse, even though they tell us how great everything is going. But of course, this show is going great, and we're having a good time. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. We're going to step out here for a little bit of a break, but we will return. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back at you after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back. Where you been? What's going on? I missed you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, so, okay, now, interestingly enough, of course, Mr. Stumpf from Wells Fargo resigned you know, did he resign or was he forced out? My personal guess is that he was forced out, you know, by Buffett. And he got out, I guess, let's say with his dignity by resigning and probably won't be responsible for any more clawbacks. Okay. But, okay, now we have a problem that is almost identical to 08. Now, again, this is not the collapsing part. That's never known or told, and it doesn't announce itself. But interestingly enough, rumors, and only rumors, but typically these type of rumors will have some fact behind them, you know, because this is not, you know, anything but saying, you know, what's going on. And the rumor is that the EU, the European Union, actually let Deutsche Bank, they actually did not pass the stress test with such flying colors, which was first reported. Okay, so my question to you is, do we think that many of these banks could not pass the stress test? Is the Fed, are they making excuses and are they kind of padding the balance sheets on our banks as well? Now, I always thought they were. This is not a surprise to me. I believe that we have a obviously, as you know, I believe we have a very broken down model, and most of the broken down model comes from the people at the Fed and the central banks around the world, because they're too damn stubborn, and they have to try to prove their model to work. And it's evident and fairly obvious that their model does not work. But the real issue here is the banks here, I think, are going to have some problems with their stress test as well if they ever really looked at it. And again, who knows what's going to trigger the eventual sell-off that is going to come. It is a 100% certainty, not maybe. And again, we don't know when, and we don't know how deep it will be. That the issues are never if. The issues are when and how deep. You know, it could be a normal correction, let's say 20%, okay, which is, you know, again, it's not comfy if you're invested, but it's not the end of the world. It's not 50%. So we don't know. That stuff we do not know, and we really can't, you know, although all these assholes out there try to give you these ridiculous calls and say, well, you know, this stock's going to 9 billion, you know, this is going to X and that's going to Y. And I go, okay, great, whatever. You're a genius. But at the end of the day, nobody really knows. These are all guesses, and most guesses are designed to drag in the innocent. Okay? Remember this. This is not me. I'm just telling you like it is. Okay? Most of the calls made by these jackasses that are out there are made to have you react to what it is. Okay? So if they say that, you know, Facebook's new target is 220, then you're going to probably see some buying at Facebook, which really means it's probably time to look at a spot to sell versus buy. So, but then, you know, a guy will come out and say, well, the Dow's going to 6,000. Okay, the Dow's going to 6,000. Right now it's 18. So maybe it will go to 6. But do you think it's going from 18 to 6 tomorrow? No. So it just, it's so sad that we, as investors, get trapped and believe in that crap. And that's what I'm saying to you now. I'm saying to you, hey, look, let's not try to overplan for disaster until we can start to feel it coming. Now, the bigger problem is not that we miss the disaster. The bigger problem is that what happens in the cycle of trading, in the cycle of life, we're Simba, okay, is that we fool ourselves and we change our mind. We have a plan and we know what to expect, but then we cut the plan short because we go, oh, well, it's going to start to rally again, or it's starting to sell off again. So we typically exit too quickly or re-enter too quickly, which is why the trying to be hedged or protected is a better model, because those decisions don't have to be made. But, you know, again, when we start hearing the dopes calling for, you know, 5,000 gold, 10,000 gold, you know, this price here, that price there, It's always a joke, okay? Because, again, there is no way to calculate those numbers. And I don't care what they're using. I don't care what metrics they're using. I don't care what they're telling you. That is why the myth of the information, other than if it's solid information, and I mean, solid information is something that's going on now, okay? But to predict and target X amount of dollars on X amount of stock is really more moronic than fact. And what you have to understand is you will get trapped by this information, because you can bet your sweet ass that somebody who's putting out a ridiculous call like that is probably positioned or getting ready to position the other way anyways. You know, I guarantee you last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now, but whenever Goldman Sachs made that $43 oil call, you can bet your sweet ass that they were buying oil. Now, again, I don't have proof. It's my opinion from my experiences dealing with and around them, but I'm going to say that I'm right, okay? And I'm going to say that they are more of a spoofing, manipulative group. My opinion only. No fact. Just from trading against them for all those years. And, of course, since the day they made that call, oil has gone basically straight up. So you tell me, all right? So is it a sign of they're trying to manipulate, or are they just wrong? Well, these big banks, they're never that wrong. They don't make these big of mistakes, okay? They have learned over their histories to take every advantage of everything they can do. So if they can actually, what they call, spoof the market, okay, so that you pretend like there's a big, you're a big buyer, but you're really a seller, okay, you put the word out that you're buying, and everybody jumps in and buy. In the meantime, on the other side of the coin, you are the seller, okay? And that's where the issues come into play, and that's what even makes these ridiculous calls even worse. And, of course, if we can go back to our friend Jim Cramer, okay, who in 08 said Bear Stearns is as solid as a rock, and 2 days later they closed down. Okay. Now, again, I'm not saying he was spoofing the market there, but I'm just saying that, you know, these calls, you know, because I remember gold was going to 3,000 in 2011. And of course, 1900 was the high, and now it went all the way down to, you know, 1100. So you cannot and should not use that information, because it's typically not generally put out for your benefit. Okay. That's number one. Number two, unless you can see the angle and what you think is going to happen and it concurs, then it's wrong and it's not going to do any good. And this is something that's very important to understand, okay? If the guys that were making these recommendations were any good, they wouldn't be making these recommendations, okay? They wouldn't be making these ridiculous calls, okay? They're really setting you up to take the other side and take the edge, knowing that you're going to follow. It's like the greatest tout service that ever lived. You know, you ever hear of the racetrack touts? You know, you go to the ponies, and you got the track tout, and he gives you, you know, the 10-horse field, and he finds 10 different people. He gives 10 different people with different horse. Okay, so, yeah, well, somebody's going to win. And, you know, so he gets the winner, and then he starts to leech off the one. Again, it's just the oldest game in the book. It ties right in with the Ponzi scheme that's being perpetrated by the Fed and everybody else. Remember, when you're out there and it comes down to money, these guys ain't got your best interest at heart, okay? And if they did, then nobody would have been busted out in 08 either, okay? But they have their best interest at heart, which is getting your cash, either through fees or whatever. But anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm going to make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com. We're doing our last hedging class of 2016 starting this Saturday at noon Eastern time. I urge you to check it out at BubbaTrading.com, but also I urge you to go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, because I will tell it like it is. So I want you to do that, as well as The Sporting Edge. And I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'm going to come right back after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back. Let me play
among the... trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we're going to take a step out from me bitching, and we're going to go hear my interview with Mark Oppold from Rural Radio, RFD TV, from yesterday. Let's go check it out. Me and Mark Oppold. Here we go.
Trading, BubbaTrading.com. Todd, happy Wednesday.
Mark Oppold, nice to hear from you.
Hey, and I wasn't sure. I was telling Zach Troutman, our producer, if anybody in Chicago would show up this morning. Congratulations.
Good morning.
So here we go. Let's take a look at this grain trade, first of all. We'll look at the livestock and also the outside markets here. I know you watch all of that. But let's kind of, for our grain producers, for this crop report, what are you watching for today?
Well, I think we're in pretty good shape, Mark. I think if we look around and we take everything that's going on, you know, I sent you a dollar chart. I don't know if you got it last night, but you know, the dollar's been on fire and is breaking to new levels higher, but yet the grains have held up relatively well, and I think remarkably well based on that. But as I said weeks ago, I felt that these guys already knew that, and they kind of priced that in. And if you look at corn, I mean, we're at 346 and a half right now, okay? 345 is the key number. If we can stay above 345, I think there's a good shot we go to 360 or 380 from here. But we have to watch this. This is our second attempt to hold 345. We got there last week and then failed. Now, we didn't fail miserably. We went back to, the, you know, 338, 339. But, of course, for our farmers and producer friends, these are not good prices. We need higher prices. And I think there's a real good shot we get it there. I think if you're looking at the beans, you know, it's been under pressure, and there's been, you know, a lot of talked about how big the yield is going to be, and it's going to be unbelievable. But yet we've been able to hold this range, and as long as we can stay above, you know, 940, and now it's looking maybe 950-ish, and we stay above there, we've got a chance to make a run back to at least $10. You know, I have pretty much pegged in the range of 940 to 10, and they really, if you look back for a couple of months, that's really where they've been. And then, of course, wheat, I think, is on the verge of making a big move higher. I think that it's had a lot of punishment. I think you've seen it beat down pretty well. And I think when you start to watch the wheat to corn ratio on the spread, you know, typically trades somewhere near a dollar, has been trading, you know, 40 or 50 cents. It looks like it's getting ready to break out to the upside. And especially when you saw that action last, was it Wednesday, Thursday, I believe, it was up big and then down big. And now we've been able to recover that. So I look for that to go higher, but I would look at 415 to 420 as key numbers that we've got to get through to satisfy that. So overall, I'm pretty comfortable in this space here. I'd like to see corn hold here. I think that's the key here, because corn could lead everything higher, but 345 is going to be a huge spot here, and we keep vacillating back and forth between 345 and so.
Doing a lot of traveling and seeing a lot of country from the windshield in some cases, but able to stop at across parts of Missouri and Kansas up to Iowa and Minnesota, Wisconsin, and yesterday into Illinois, coming back down through Kentucky. There were a lot of lights in the field yesterday. They had to get through some wet weather first in that northern belt, especially. There's still a lot of corn and beans out in from your area north. I don't know how much that figures in, but just giving a quick crop report from what we saw. Basically, from Chicago north, there's a lot of grain still out there in the eastern belt, I understand, too.
Oh, no, there's a lot out there. And there's another thing going on is there's been, a lot of people looking to buy. There's been some shortages out there for the buyers. They've been having trouble buying what they want because, of course, the farmers and producers that can hold in store without cost are not giving it up at these prices. And I think that's a good thing. I think that we're going to start to see, the buyers are going to have to possibly step up a little bit, which could also generate and help us get the rally that we're looking for.
Now, I know from people that may not be familiar with Todd Horwitz, again, he's a regular contributor here on our Market Day Report and Rural Radio. These USDA crop reports, you don't spend a lot of time pouring through the numbers in your analysis and trying to put together a plan for a producer or a user.
I don't spend 1 minute. I only know them because people want to know what they are. But when it comes down to it, Mark, and I'm a very, very big believer in the markets know well before, and they're going to price that action in. Like, I do believe that they priced in the dollar action. I believe they've already priced in the data that's coming out. And because of today's technology, this isn't 30 years ago where we have to stand in front of the TV set waiting for that to come out. This information is kind of already priced in and assumed, and you've got so much money being spent on grabbing this information that we already know pretty much what it's going to be, which is why we don't typically see those real dramatic moves off of that anymore. There'll be the occasional mistake, but basically pricing is already in, and I think the markets are telling you, and they give you a much better footprint as to what's going to happen next. And I think the way that they've held up tells us that no matter what's in that report, we're going to start to see some higher prices here pretty soon, at least through the third and fourth quarter here.
345 in corn, I wrote these numbers, around 950 in soybeans, 415 to 420. Get through that in wheat. Did I write those down correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I in beans, I would say, 940 on the downside. But to me, it feels to me, and it looks to me, they're building a much better base here now at 950, which would also be better because from a technical standpoint, if you can make higher lows, okay, that's a good sign that you're building a bottom. And then, obviously, to get the breakout and the rally to the upside, you want to start to see higher lows and higher highs. That will give you a trajectory or a pattern that will start look like it's going to go higher, and that will attract new money and new buyers.
Todd Horwitz, it's Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com. Our guest, not done yet. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk livestock and more outside markets. We continue Commodity Wrap after this. Back to Commodity Wrap, Mark Oppel, Zach Troutman at the controls, and on the phone, Todd Horwitz from Bubba Trading. It's BubbaTrading.com. That simple. And you often have, you just had a webinar, I guess I'd call it that, for anyone who's interested that you just want to be helpful, Todd. Be a producer, a user, whoever they might be, whoever the person is, and these commodities to help them understand and put a plan together.
Absolutely. I want to make sure that they have the right feel and understand how the markets actually function, because we all have the tendency to get involved with emotions, and emotional trading is typically never good trading. So I want to make sure that people have a good understanding. And if anybody wants that, they can go to my website and I'll be happy to send them the last webinar I did. It's free, no charge. I'm happy to help because, again, I want you guys to learn, and gals, that they should always just be hedged. And then you don't have to worry about the crazy moves in markets, because then they don't matter. They become immaterial because you're protected to the downside.
Yeah, when we use that introduction here, when you talk about this livestock trade, you talk about getting out of this emotional part of this market and try to make some sense of it. Boy, that's been a pull for our cattlemen, anyone in the beef business here, all summer actually, and in the fall.
It's been a very, very challenging market, and we've had a number of false starts in these markets looking for, potentially higher pricing. And it's been tough. It's been a tough road, and we've obviously come down. We're down 16% just from August now. So I would think that at some point here, we're going to find a bottom. a lot of this latest sell-off has come from a lot of the forced liquidations from, you know, from the lenders that are forcing people out because they're afraid of the loan to value. And I think we're coming to an end here soon. I would not be a buyer as much as I think we're going higher. I want to see us be able to hold the bottom. Now, you know, you look at in the fat cattle, you know, December, you know, we got to hold 97. Now, right now, we closed at 98 yesterday, you know, 98.37. We've got to hold this 97, 98 area and start to do some what we call base building, which means I'd like to see the markets go sideways. For our farmers and Bruce, I'd like them to see them go straight up. But I know that if they go straight up from here, that's a short covering rally, and that means we're probably going to go lower still. So I want to see them hold and go sideways for a couple of days and really start to see some strong building. Now, one of the things in their favor now is that with the equity markets under pressure, that could bring in some new money here and help us build that base that we're looking to build. But for here, very tenuous. I think the bottoms are close, if not in, but I'm not a buyer yet. I need to see some proof that we're going to hold. And the fats, I mean, the feeders have been a little bit worse than the fats, but they have to hold here in November. Okay, they've got to hold an area, you know, somewhere around, you know, 117, 118. And again, I know those aren't good numbers. Nobody wants to hear those, but that's really where we are right now. And we've got to start to hold and build the base, very similar to what the hogs did. I mean, they struggled, they look horrible. And then finally, they now start to look like they have a little life to them and there's a little health to them. Now, one of the issues there is the ratio from hogs to cattle. You know, we're at 2.5 to 1, which is an extremely big ratio for what standard is. So that gave us an indication that they might start to hold, which they have, and they are starting to move up nicely. And I would like to see this kind of action continue. I do not want to see limit up moves, because to me those are just short covering rallies that end up getting sold into, and they usually make lower lows off of that.
Very good. Todd, thanks for all the great information this morning. Always good to hear from you, and you'll be joining me on Market Day Report later today on RFD-TV and Rural Radio, so we look forward to continuing the conversation here in a couple of hours.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Mark.
Have a great day. Todd Horwitz.
It was me with Mark Oppelt, Rural Radio. Always good. I love them. They do a good job to help our farmers out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back and close it up for the day. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We will be right back after the break. The song was written. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. What's up, and welcome back. And so, you know, obviously we've been watching the political scene and the whole thing and the big mess that's going on. And of course, it looks like Trump's losing ground. You know what I really find amazing? I find it amazing that we could be that intelligent people could be so in love with Hillary Clinton. But what I really find even more amazing than that, again, we all got our opinions, and I don't, you know, mine's not necessarily right, okay, but I'm not looking at it from a political side. I'm looking at it from a business side, a money side, and a truth side. And here's what really gets to me, okay? You know, Donald Trump on the debate was talking about the taxes and the tax breaks, and you know, we all say, you know, I asked the question, you know, if you didn't have to pay taxes, you know, you legally did not have to pay, would you pay? And I don't know one person that would say yes, but I'm sure there might be somebody out there. But of course, Mr. Buffett, okay, came out and you know, he is strongly in Hillary Clinton's back pocket, or in corner, excuse me. Hillary Clinton is in Warren Buffett's back pocket. I had it reversed there for a minute. But I want you to just think about this, okay? Now, for, you know, as many years as I can remember, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and, you know, the big guys, but Warren Buffett more predominate because he, to me, is more irritating than anybody. But for years, they have continued to equally donate to both parties. Now, why do you donate to equally to both parties? Well, because you're trying to garner an edge and you're trying to say, Okay, good. We can donate to both so that we can get some in our back pocket. Because what is the political world really about? Well, it's really about, you know, trying to get the government to do things for you so that you can benefit. And you're going to benefit by usually money, which is why life comes down to two things, one of them being cash. But so Donald Trump opened up on Sunday night at the debate and he says, hey, you know, these guys all take advantage of it. And he's correct. Okay. Now, you know, Buffett comes out with his retort and starts saying, well, you know, I'll show you my tax return. And he makes a statement. He's paid taxes for 44 years or whatever the hell it was. And I go, okay, great. Good for you. In the meantime, you know, what he doesn't tell you is if he did not, first of all, if he was not trying to buy favor with Hillary Clinton, if he was not trying to get things structured in his way, why in this year's election did he only support Hillary Clinton? Why in this year's election is he coming out verbally and abusing and going after Donald Trump, trying to assure Hillary wins? Okay. So those are a couple of things that I would, they stink from the, all high hell. Or all the high heavens, whatever it is. Okay, but now, if Warren Buffett was not looking for an edge, why would he spend millions and millions and millions of dollars a year on accountants? Okay, why not just figure it out and say, oh, this is what I made, here's what I'm going to pay tax on? Because he's a liar. That's why, because he does take every tax advantage. You don't think for 1 minute that a guy who takes $100,000 a year salary but yet makes $11 million a year didn't do it for a particular reason because of the way the tax structure is, did you? You wouldn't think about that, would you? Okay. You don't think that all this philanthropy he's doing does not have a tremendous tax break as he pretends to be, you know, Mr. Great, Mr. Purity. Okay. I mean, nobody really believes all that, do you? Because, you know, him and Donald Trump, other than Trump being a big mouth and saying a lot of things that people think but wouldn't say, you know, he's a pompous ass that as well, just quietly, you know, he makes these statements about paying more taxes. Okay. Well, you know, I always say just write a check. Okay. You know, the wealthy built this stupid tax code. Okay. Because every addition was meant to be in their favor. And it is. And why do you think the big Hollywood types, the Leonardo DiCaprios and the Damons, all these guys, why do you think they become so much on the other side, to the left in this particular case? Because they're set up with these, you know, shell corporations and, you know, all these accounting tricks, so they don't make that much money. And so what they do have to pay tax on, instead of paying 35%, they're paying 18%, whatever the numbers are. I don't know the exact numbers, but I'm just saying the tax code is the tax code. And if you can figure out how to beat it, okay, legally, then why wouldn't you? So when you become one of those, you can be a big shot and ask and demand all these things because you're not gonna, it ain't going to bother you. So I always wonder, you know, why these guys become, you know, so big and so adamant on the way they want things to be done. And I go, well, of course it is, because they've got an edge to it. And then they look like they're doing the right thing, okay? But at the end, he's got big benefits. He's the same guy who, you know, talked about inversion and then ended up inverting himself. And, you know, every deal that he does is done in a favorable status to him. Okay. And that's Warren Buffett, in case you just tuned in. Okay. So he can have his, you know, talk about, everybody kisses his ass like he's God himself. Okay. Listen, he's a good investor that didn't get forced out and was able to hold and compound this portfolio, which is what we like to do through the hedging model. But at the end, he didn't get out, and he held. So he became, you know, this god and continued to accumulate and build assets. And I have no problem with that. I don't say he's not smart. You know, again, I don't want to be confused one with the other. But he's just as dirty as the next guy. Okay? And that becomes what I like to talk about. I had no problem with what any of them do, because again, if you're willing to pay up, which they do when they invest in these politicians, okay, if you're willing, if you can get the laws in your favor, then why wouldn't you? Okay, but you don't just spend, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars on accountants if you just want to pay more taxes, if you're going to do the right thing, you spend millions and millions of dollars that you can set your companies up so that you can get tax advantages. Like Warren Buffett has some dividend cancellation systems that they pass through, and the income never actually shows up. All right, so he's not paying taxes on it. In the meantime, he's taking the money in. You know, you always have to wonder the ulterior motive behind anybody. And again, I don't have a problem with it. I'm not mad at him for that. I'm mad at him because A, I think he's a liar. B, I think he is just in it for himself, which is fine. But why are you getting involved in the election when the person that you're backing is as dirty as they come? You got to wonder why the Almighty himself, the chief, Warren Buffett, hail to the chief. Okay, you have to wonder why he so strongly supports somebody who should be in jail. Okay, you got to wonder. And again, I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. Again, you know, listen, I'm for everybody in life. I mean, you know, again, you have every entitled to their opinion, but you have to wonder why somebody would so strongly step in to this, one of the ugliest campaigns ever, and make it and lay his bones down at the feet of who is pretty much recognized as dirty. Okay. You know, who trashed those women's lives of who her husband either raped or fondled or whatever the hell he did. Okay. We know he was what he was. And again, okay, there's a guy that lied to the entire American people about, you know, what he did and cost billions of dollars to go fight it for no reason when he just had to say, I'm sorry, I did it, it's okay. So at the end of the day, why is Buffett so strongly behind her? I'm not saying he shouldn't support her at all, but why so strongly? It's just one of those things that you got to say, why is this guy doing that? And that's what I would think, okay, is why is he so strong in her corner? But unfortunately, I can't talk about it anymore today because we got to go tomorrow. I mean, Saturday, excuse me, last hedging class. Make sure that you check it out if you want to get in. BubbaTrading.com. You'll be very happy if you do. In the meantime, download the show at BubbaTrading.com. LibertyTalk.fm. I'm losing my mind. This has been The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy the football game tonight, and we will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.